Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riding from the inside out. I'm Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer, and I am solo today. So I thought Debbie is busy with family obligations, and I didn't have anybody else lined up to interview. So I thought I would take this podcast opportunity to talk about horse training paradigms. Horse training theories, and a little bit of how I arrived at doing what I do as a specialty with horse training, because it's looking at, just like our tagline for the podcast, looking at training from a different perspective, looking at how things are working from the inside out. So over time, I did what everybody else did, learning training, working with horse training. And over time, a few things sort of became apparent. And as I learned more and more about the mechanics of the body, it became more obvious to me that behavior was not just bad behavior. It was a way that horses had of expressing whatever was going on with them. It was always tied in to the physical well-being of the body. So, a horse could be moving in such a dysfunctional way that they felt unstable in their movement, especially with the weight of a rider. And that instability would lead to expressions of defensiveness, fight or flight, or anything we call bad behavior. Other horses might have a pain issue that was really difficult to diagnose, misdiagnosed for years, and then finally sorted out sort of by accident over the course of time. But there would be maybe a hard to diagnose, hard to find physical issue that was the root cause behind the defensive behavior or the bad behavior. Other horses are just uncomfortable in the work. Not good enough coordination will lead to excessive contraction of the muscle. If the skeleton isn't moving in a functionally efficient manner, then the muscles kick in to stabilize the body. So you could have chronic pain in the muscles or tension, tightness, soreness. And that could be another way or another reason that the horses would start to express their displeasure, their discomfort. Their lack of cooperation might be an expression, anxiety, distraction, resistance, dullness, all of those behaviors. When we call a horse lazy or crazy, it's usually the way the horse has of expressing that something is not working comfortably in the body. So I started to look at what was going on in the body that was causing the horse to express undesirable behavior, bad behavior, defensive behavior, whatever we want to call it. And I used to think, like everybody else, that training involved getting a horse to do X, go on a trail ride, have a rider, get into the trot, get into the canter so many times. And eventually they would relax, or eventually they would get their balance. So, in other words, it's kind of a deep ingrained belief or a paradigm in the horse industry that the more we get the horse to do what we want them to do, the more balance we get as a result of doing the task or doing the thing. So, even if we look at schooling exercises. If we go through the schooling exercise and we're diligent and we practice and our horse cooperates with us, then the point of the exercise is to gymnasticize the horse, build athletic capacity, and the side effect is a horse that's calm, cooperative, and moving in better balance. And the farther we take that belief system, to higher levels of riding, if we can get the horse over the bigger jump, then the result is they become more athletic. Or if we can do blind lead changes or tempi lead changes or a canter pirouette or a sliding stop, where we can ride for 3 hours instead of 1 hour on the trail. All of those things are the way we look at training, that if we can get that job done over and over and over, then our horse being calm and reliable and happy and athletic and balanced will be the result of those exercises. I came into training finding my niche. First, I called myself a rehab trainer. So anybody with a problem, whether it was behavioral or a physical movement problem, lameness issues, that's where I found I did. It was work I was really interested in, and I was very successful with turnarounds. So rehab sort of became my specialization first. Then I said, well, it's not always rehab, because the very same work would take a healthy horse and just add skills to talent. So I sort of said, well, what is it I do? And people ask me what I do. And for non-horse people, I say I teach people horse training. So I teach people how to ride like a professional and how to develop your own horse like a professional trainer. With riders, they ask me what I do. I can say that, but I also say I specialize in balance. So what does that mean? Because we all think, well, of course, my horse's balance is not falling over. So, what do you mean you specialize in balance? And so, I had to break it into balance in the mind and balance in the body. So, behavioral issues, resolving behavioral issues, is the result of finding balance in the emotional and mental states, both horse and rider. And balance in the body is training the movement towards authentically correct mechanical efficiency. So, the whole point of learning about biomechanics is because it brings ease into the movement. It builds the strength of the body, whether it's horse or rider. When we understand how to train towards optimal biomechanics, we are becoming more comfortable, more secure, more stable, and more athletic or more sound or overcoming behavioral issues in that process. So I also say about my training that it's sort of from the inside out. Because in order to achieve those, when I looked around the horse world, even at my good friends, even myself in my own process, what I saw was that paradigm of if you do the tasks, your mentally, emotionally, physically balanced horse is supposed to be the result. But it's not happening. And why isn't it happening? Why was I busy as a rehab trainer? With horses of all breeds, all ages, all different kinds of disciplines, what was it that we were missing in that paradigm? And so I started to look at if we compared it to another physical structure. I go, a lot of times we'll compare horses to computers because they always do what you tell them, but they never do what you want. So, in sort of thinking about that, I realized when we're talking about biomechanics or balance in the mind and the body, what I'm focusing on as a trainer is how we do whatever we do. So, it's like a computer's hardware, a computer platform. So, you might have an Apple or you might have a PC, but there's a hardware operating system to the computer that you use that runs the software. The software is what we do. So I have an Apple computer and I have lots of different software programs to use depending on what I want to do. If my operating system, my hardware, is dysfunctional, is not updated with new skills, new so or new upgrades or updates, then none of my software runs very well. And that's kind of how I look at the horse training. What I'm looking at is the essential operating system of the body and mind. If that's not updated, if that's not moving into sort of an optimized use, which means how we do whatever we do, then our software program is going to be glitchy. It's not going to run as well. So the software program analogy would be, I jump. I'm a trail rider. I do dressage. I'm a Western rider. I work cattle. I ride racehorses. I rode the horse races. Whatever job that we're doing, whatever what we call a discipline in the horse industry, is just a software program. So yes, the software program has its own sort of set of rules and what works, what doesn't, what makes it function smoothly, what makes it glitchy, and we do get software updates. That's the what we choose to do with our horse, the sport or the pleasure. But there's a whole separate world called the operating system. And the operating system is run in the body through the nervous system, right? That's our operating system. So when it comes to balancing the mind, that's just what I call it. What I'm really looking for is any horse that has a behavioral issue. The real problem is not the behavior itself or the stimulus to the bad behavior. The problem is that the operating system is running in what's called the sympathetic nervous system. So we all, riders and horses, have sort of this dual nervous system or nervous systems where the sympathetic nervous system that we call our fight and flight nervous system is an entire stimulation. It affects every function of the body. So it's going to change heart rate, respiration, body temperature. When we're in the sympathetic nervous system, the immune system is suppressed. The blood flow goes away from the gut and the vital organs out into the extremities. Different hormone changes happen. So we're going to release stress hormones when that nervous system is the dominant nervous system of the body. The other nervous system, the rest and digest nervous system, is called the parasympathetic nervous system. And again, that nervous system is going to affect every function of the body. It's going to affect posture. We're going to have pleasure hormones released instead of stress hormones. It's going to reduce respiration, restore better blood pressure. The blood flow goes back to the gut and the vital organs. And there's just everything in the whole body is going to be affected by which nervous system is dominant. So when I look at behavior, it no longer mattered what I was doing with a horse that was either dangerous or anxious or really having problems. What I needed to achieve on an operating level was a shift from dominance of the sympathetic fight or flight nervous system into dominance of the rest and digest or parasympathetic nervous system. So the nervous systems run like hot and cold water. Excuse me. If we say fight and flight is hot water and rest and digest is cold water, we can run a little hot or very hot. We can run a little cool or very cool. So it's never a black and white shift. It's different degrees of which nervous system is dominating, and it's an ever-changing, ever-flowing sort of dominance of the nervous system. So, like what we call being in the zone, right, where we can just seem to perform effortlessly and our body seems to work automatically in our performance of choice or sport of choice, is a cohesion between the two nervous systems, right? So, we're clear-headed, But at the same time, we're sort of moving intuitively, riding intuitively, and it feels amazing, right? So the reward for the human or the horse of shifting dominance of the nervous system is that it feels better. It feels better to feel safe. So no matter what training strategy or the what I do, whether it's groundwork or riding or different strategies I play with, if I have a horse with really bad behavior, I have to read that energy, that body language, that behavior, the posture. I have to look for all of the signals and signs that that horse is giving me because they're not going to tell me. The rider can tell me, but the horse can't. But I'm going to look for signs of, is this stress? Is it high energy? Do I think this horse might be dominant in the fight and flight nervous system? And then how do I get that to change? What do I need to do to help this horse start to feel safer on the inside? How do I start to calm this, whatever triggered the fight flight nervous system, and work with the horse? And I usually try to find the simplest way possible so that the nervous system can shift dominance the fastest. The more complicated it gets, or the more challenged the horse is, the longer it takes to shift dominance of the nervous system. So, in sort of optimizing the hardware or the operating system, or what I would call balance in the mind, is really just helping horse or rider become dominant in the rest and digest nervous system in the very context of what we are doing, or retreating to a context or a strategy where that could be achieved. Right? That's what I would call balance in the mind. Now, why is that important if you want a beautiful moving horse, or you want to train the horse to do something physically? Because in the fight or flight nervous system, the nervous system is feeding the older instinctual part of the brain, horse and rider. So we're in the limbic system. It's the frontal cortex, or the newer part of the brain, where we have the capacity of choice and imagination and conscious control. That part of the brain is only fed when the body is in the parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system. So, which part of the brain we can use in any given moment is dependent on which nervous system is dominant. So, how we feel and where we are mentally focused is makes the difference between having conscious control over our choices or reacting instinctually without conscious control. So that to me became an important part of developing mechanically well-coordinated movement in the horse or the rider, because to change from our habits of movement, all of us have different dysfunction. We all got a body, but it didn't come with a training manual. We sort of figured it out. So at some point, to ride better or to get our horses to move better, we have to develop the conscious control over the coordination of our body in motion. Right? So when we learn about biomechanics, the whole point of understanding biomechanics is to understand what is optimal use of our mechanical body, our skeleton, all of our soft tissue, and the same for the horse. The only way we can change from an unconscious habit of movement or overcome an instinctual use of the body is by using the frontal cortex, the part of our brain that has choice and imagination and conscious control over the body. It's true for us and our horses. So the only difference between a horse brain and a human brain, they all have the same bits and pieces. The human brain is bigger, more capacity. The horse brain is smaller, less capacity, but still the same inherent operating system. So the nervous system and the brain functions are the same, horse or human. And we share in common, even though horses are quadrupeds and we're bipeds, We share the structure of a vertebrate. So we have a central nervous system that's housed in the skull and the spine and protected by the pelvis. Then we have limbs. So that central nervous system and the brain is part of the, is housed in the axial skeleton of the vertebrate body. So when we look at biomechanics, that's my primary focus. So this way, the balance in the mind flows into changing the coordination of the body, and the function of the axial skeleton is also going to affect the mind. So more optimal biomechanically correct function is going to influence the body the same way that the dominance of the nervous system influences the body. So you can't really, on a practical level, ever separate mental, emotional, and physical balance. So instead of looking at behavior as good or bad, disrespectful, respectful, all of those, dominant submission, it's an expression. Bad behavior is an expression of the horse struggling. Are they fearful? Is the sympathetic nervous system dominant? Are they moving in a mechanically efficient coordination? Right? That is what creates comfort in the movement. So if they're mechanically severely dysfunctional, they're going to tax the soft tissues and they're going to feel unstable in the coordination of the skeleton. We feel the same way. That can lead to pain issues over time. Right? Or it can lead to just more and more instability over time that can make an individual, horse or rider, feel unsafe in their own skin. That will lead to a lot of behavioral expressions of defensiveness that we call bad behavior. So you can't really separate how the body is functioning from how the mind is functioning. And you can't really improve over instinct and unconscious habits of movement unless the mind feels safe enough to work with conscious choice and learn from mistakes. So, with all of that said, it became a lot more important to focus on what was happening on the inside rather than the outside. Getting over the ground pole, that's a task that's external. Keeping the midline stable and straight and feeling safe, all of those things are happening on the inside. So, a lot of people, when I work with new clients, this is a massive paradigm shift to think, what's going on the inside of me? How do I feel? Where am I focused? What am I focused on? How's my axial skeleton feeling? What's my relationship to gravity? This is a whole different world than thinking heels down, shoulders back, hold your hands still, sit up straight, right? Those are all sort of external pictures in our mind. And so, as riders, to get from sort of the don't fall off stage where we all start into riding more like an elite rider or a professional rider or a very good rider. At some point, we all have to take that internal journey and we shift from the image that's in our mind, what we are picturing that we should look like or how we're executing a maneuver, into what are we feeling, which happens much faster. It's much more subtle. And it's super unpredictable, right? Really unpredictable. So people will say, which rein and leg do I use on a turn? And I go, it depends. Because a horse could go around a turn 50 different ways. So if I'm not feeling what my horse is doing during the turn, I have no idea which aid to give. It might be my inside leg. It might be my outside leg. I might have my weight a little to the inside. I might have my weight a little to the outside. I might need more pressure on the inside rein I might need more pressure on the outside, right? I might need to flex the pole a little in the direction or away from the direction of travel. I might need to bend the neck a little. I might need to help the horse keep the neck straight. I might need more leg. I might need more back. I might need more speed, less speed. So when we're thinking from the inside out, this is what I mean by becoming sort of optimizing the operating system. And when I started to take this look at training, when I started to shift my paradigm about training, the really miraculous thing that happened was horses that everybody had given up on were making turnarounds. Riders that had stagnated at a certain sort of level of riding were starting to ride like professionals. They were looking really good. They were understanding and experiencing how to work with their own horse moment to moment to train their own horse. And I could become a guide rather than the doer. So I really found it empowered the rider. It empowered the horse. And the horses started to look forward to really what other people thought was boring work. So just doing a simple figure eight in an arena, doing simple walk trot transitions, riding a circle. When the focus comes internal and you're working on optimizing the mechanical function of the body, when one of your priorities is making sure the ho horse is focused on you and you're focused on the horse, you feel that partnership. When both of you are fear-free, doesn't mean you're not excited or having a good time, but you're in a dominant of the rest and digest nervous system, you feel safe, right? So feeling safe, mutually focused on each other, and then kind of working out the unique details of every body on an internal, the riders working on themselves and helping our horses along with exploring, making mistakes, changing internal coordination, which is going to change posture. It's going to change muscle tone and use throughout the entire body. It's going to change the tensile use of all the tendons and ligaments and connective tissue. It's going to affect the digestion, the immune system, the nervous system, right? So, mechanically efficient movement helps the health of the body. And if we don't feel safe, we can't really develop the skills or the conscious control to change our habit of movement. And whether it's a horse or a human, we all have to learn the skills of using our body in a more mechanically efficient way. Right? So it's not to create this outside picture or to follow a picture we have in our head. It's a feel, it's an experience, it's a sensation that we get better and more familiar with between us and our horses. And we can adapt to whatever the environment throws at us, whatever the challenge throws at us, because we're building a relationship of trust. We're having this intimate conversation from inside to inside with our horses, no matter what we're doing. And all of a sudden, very simple, basic work feels really challenging. It's a whole paradigm shift. And you're not so concerned about did we trot today? Did we canter today? Did we go on our trail ride today? Because we're creating this communication in an internal world where the what we do suddenly just doesn't seem as important. And as an interesting byproduct, when the operating system, right, the hardware, is really upgraded to mechanical efficiency, feeling safe, and learning the skill of a strong mental focus, the maneuvers become easy. Riding a perfect circle is the result, not the ends to it. So the old paradigm is, if I ride a perfect circle, X number of times, balance will be the result. But you can track a circle in completely dysfunctional use and still stay on a precise path. So then you're still riddled with behavioral problems, lameness issues, physical issues, or bad movement. And it gets blamed on the horse as having bad conformation, not very talented, too old, too young, blah, blah, blah. But really, it's a problem with the hardware. It's an internal problem with the operating system, the hardware. When you upgrade the hardware, then the software runs better, no matter what software you're running. So if I want to have an athletic horse that can jump bigger jumps, go on more challenging trails, more challenging obstacles, do the upper level dressage maneuvers, if you take a horse that feels safe on the inside, stays mentally very tuned in and focused on its rider and the rider's guidance, and has the athletic capacity. So the whole point of learning about biomechanics and struggling through this learning curve is you build the athletic capacity of the body, horse and rider, for whatever you want to do. So if I take an agile, strong, stable horse, and then ask for my shoulder in, for my pirouette, for my bigger jump, for my steeper hill, it's easy. And of course, it furthers the strength of the body to add those challenges. The problem with our current paradigm is that we think if we just get over the jump, do the shoulder in, go up the steep hill, that the result will be a calmer horse, more focus, a better moving mechanical body. But it's not, because it's entirely possible, happens all the time. It's what keeps me in business as a rehab trainer, that both horse and rider can do those exact same things in complete dysfunction that has a negative stress on the body rather than a positive stress on a healthy, well-balanced movement. That's the difference. It's not this paradigm of sort of looking at training from the inside out, looking at the operating system as opposed to the software, right? The operating system is how things are running on the inside. The software is what we do with it, right? The trail, the jump, the barrels, whatever we want to do. So this paradigm shift is not a prevalent part of our industry in the horse business right now. I would love to see that change. That's my life's work. But it gives us all of the things that we're looking for. It's a problem resolver, right? So we quit banging our head against the wall with what we're doing with glitchy software, and we shift our paradigm to this internal world. How are we doing what we're doing? The results from that have been helping horses overcoming lameness that were devalued, given up on, couldn't be recuperated, overcoming behavioral issues that horse and rider had struggled with for years, could be overcome in months. Right? Sometimes I have to be very humble, going, I don't know why the horse is expressing this behavior or being defensive, but I know the horse has a good reason. And I know it's somehow also tied into what he feels in his body, or that horse feels, he or she, whether they feel stable, whether they feel safe, whether they feel mechanically well coordinated or poor coordinate or have poor coordination. All of those things play a role in being able to do what we want to do. So that's why I take this focus. I am a total oddball at different barns. Unless you've experienced it for yourself, people will watch me ride. And it's so basic, so simplistic, that a lot of people are wondering, why am I repeating it that much with that horse? Or what is it I'm looking for? Or what's happening? And then over time, some of the same people will say, that horse looks amazing. That horse looks better than I've ever seen. The farrier might notice a difference. The vet might notice a difference. People might say, wow, what supplement is that horse on? Or what's the breeding of that horse? Or how old is that horse? And that's their people's way of noticing, not understanding that what gave that result was a complete paradigm shift on how we're looking at training. And that, when I meet with new people, is probably the biggest hurdle for somebody to work on horse training the way I do, is to let go of what the horse is doing as a measure of success or failure and take the time to tune our bodies and tune our awareness to what our horse is thinking and feeling and what are the details of the coordination during motion, no matter what we're doing. And sometimes the simplest work, the most basic elements that all of the upper level work is built on, if that's done well, we never have to go back or we don't have a problem going forward. But taking the time to do that can make people feel like they're taking a backward step in training. So it's confrontational in a way, it's challenging in a way to go back to the basics and completely shift how we view our mile markers of success in training. It's going to be something we feel rather than what we see or what other people see us do. So I thought I would take this podcast to talk about this today. And why I came to the point I did was out of complete frustration. And out of things not working and out of seeing problems. And for many years, I volunteered at horse rescues because I was very curious, why are these horses needing to be rescued? Why are these horses being pulled out of performance? Why do we have such a high attrition rate? Why are we retiring horses at 10 years old now? Why are we injecting horses at 5 years old now? Why do we have them medicated and supplemented and managed to the point that we're dipping into our retirement fund, and yet we still have the same problems? And it's not something, the type of training I'm talking about can't be done by a static therapist, and it can't be done to the horse. We actually have to learn it. So it's a big threshold for people to cross into. To go, yeah, I'm ready to look at the internal world and I'm ready to realize things that I never knew, even though as I was learning this, I had already been riding for 20 years. It didn't matter. It was a whole new world, it was a whole new vein of learning. And I was so excited about it. I loved the results I was getting. I had really happy horses that want to work with me, that want to cooperate with me. And I never addressed a single behavioral issue in a direct way. It was like all the bad behavior just sort of went away as we improved the physical balance. And as I worked at a pace where the horse could feel safe and stay mentally focused, I just didn't have the problems anymore. I didn't have to use a bazillion techniques. It was simple work. The challenge was the internal focus, right? So this came later in my riding career. I went through all of the typical normal horse ownership stuff, learning to ride stuff, making a bazillion mistakes, listening to all the same words, all the same instruction, having the same internal struggle, beating myself up, thinking I'm just not good enough. My horse isn't good enough. I need to spend more money on this, this, or that. And I've been there totally. So I invite you guys to think about maybe the way I'm looking at the big picture could be part of the problem. Why I feel stuck. I also invite you guys, you can visit my website. It's kirstennelson.com. I'll put it in the description box below. And I always offer new clients a free power hour, I call it. So on my website, on the homepage, you can click on that link. It'll contact me with a submission form, and then I will send you an email on all the details of how to go about setting up basically a free remote lesson. You can do it with video of your horse or without. And I have set that up and opened it to anybody who is interested, showing any kind of video at any level with their horse, because I would love to help more people find this empowerment with the horse you already have, starting right where you are today. And with that, I thank you for listening to this solo podcast, and I hope to see you next week on the next Horse Geeks podcast. Thanks a lot, everybody. Oh, and there's more in the description box, information on how to find out about the training I do, the website contact information. And I also started a new newsletter. So if you'd like to sign up for the mailing list, that information is in the description box below. So thanks. Please like, share, subscribe, yada, yada, yada. And I'll see you next time on the next Horse Geeks podcast. Bye.